This is Sex Science Saturday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. In Sweden, gay people have been allowed to register for civil unions since 1995, and they've legally had same-sex marriage since 2009. So we have a little bit of data. And there's now a new study done in Sweden. And the conclusion of that study has been touted across the internet, just happened, but it's spreading like wildfire, on those sites where they don't like gay people. The religious, conservative, anti-gay sites are all touting this study, because the conclusion of this study is that gay people who get married in Sweden have a higher suicide rate than straight married couples do. And the obvious conclusion for these anti-gay people is that if you're gay and you're married, you're better off dead. But that is not what the study says. But here's the most important thing that the study does not say. It does not say that gay married people are more likely to commit suicide than single gay people are. This is a meta-analysis looking at a whole bunch of other studies. And it looked at a respectable period of time, 1996 to 2009. The link between same-sex married women is much more tenuous with suicide. They see a possible link there, but it is a much more tentative link. The thing that jumps out at you is that they find a nearly threefold greater incidence of suicide and suicide ideation in gay married men as compared to straight married men. Now, this is just number crunching. It's looking at statistics. It doesn't give us any meaning. We don't know why this might be the case. And there is absolutely no way to find out in a study like this because of the type of study it is. This is something that would need to be followed up with and researched more to try to find out what's going on. From this, we don't really know. But it shouldn't be surprising because we know that gay people have a higher incidence of suicide just in general. Even in a country like Sweden that is one of the more gay-tolerant countries. And what is also important to understand is this study looked at suicide risk. So it's not looking at suicide rate. It's also including suicide ideation and attempted suicide. I did not pay the $40 to actually read the study, so I don't know all the exact details. And we're pretty early out. The study hasn't been out long enough to see a lot of other people commenting and analyzing it, with the exception of those on the far anti-gay religious conservative right. Their conclusion is that homosexual behavior is what leads to suicide, but of course there's no science to back that conclusion. That is just what they want to be true, and yet the majority of homosexual people lead very functional, normal lives, which sort of belies their conclusion. Even when we're looking at an increase in suicide rate, that's still a small percentage of the population. The bottom line is that the vast majority of gay married couples in Sweden are not suicidal. They're living fairly normal lives. Yes, this is a disturbing study. We want to know what's going on here. But the bottom line is, we don't know what's going on with these conclusions, and it's going to take a lot more research and study to try to figure out what the pattern is, what the cause is. The study was published May 11th in the journal Psychiatric Epidemiology with the title, Suicide in Married Couples in Sweden, Is the Risk Greater in Same-Sex Couples? In 2011, under Governor Kasich, Ohio passed a controversial anti-abortion bill. There's a new study that looks at the results of that law, and they conclude that instead of protecting women's health, which was the claim, it actually puts women's health at significantly greater risk. One of the things that the law did was used drug standards from 2000, the year 2000, to determine how you would take the abortion pill mifepristone. Those old rules that they adopted weren't safe for women. We knew much better since then. They also made abortions more complicated and expensive to obtain. Well, the study was published by the University of California, San Francisco. And their conclusion was that far from making abortion safer for women, it did exactly the opposite. Their conclusion was that after the 2011 law went into place, women were three times more likely to need extra health care during or after the procedure. This shocked the researchers because while they thought that there would be an increase, they didn't expect that there would be a threefold increase. And side effects for women were drastically increased. The requirement that women take a higher dosage of mifepristone than was necessary or even recommended by modern medical science, that made women sick. A lot of them threw up the pill and had to take it again. And they had to return to the clinic due to an incomplete abortion. Not only did the needlessly increased dosage make women sick, it also was more expensive. And it also drastically reduced women's access to this procedure. Prior to 2011, 22% of all Ohio abortions were medication-based. By 2014, only 5% of abortions in Ohio were medication-based. And medication-based abortions are important because they tend to be much less expensive and traditionally safer for women. Another reason that there was a reduction in the use of medication-based abortions was because they narrowed the window of time that women were allowed to take the abortion pill. But this was a random decision. It wasn't based on any medical research. In fact, these restrictions, which were claimed to protect Ohio women, weren't based on any medical science at all. They were pushed through by anti-abortion extremists who want abortion to be more difficult to obtain, and they're perfectly fine with it being more dangerous. But back in March, the FDA changed their regulations, which overruled this Ohio law. But the research makes clear that laws like this are extremely hazardous to women's health.